Welcome everyone to the superhero call. Here we are. It's I don't even know what day it is. February the 22nd. Hard to imagine this month is almost over. And I believe we have Mr. Good joining.
Good morning, my dear. Good afternoon, good evening. Hello, everybody. How are we doing today, my dear Taylor?
Oh, fantastic. It's, yeah, it's spring has begun to sprung here. In the,
Yay.
Yeah, I know. Praise the Lord. Such a wonder. So, yeah, everything's coming back to life, and I'm amazed by it every time. Amazed. It's out, wow,
where are
240.
You?
Right now in upstate New York.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's still snow, but, you know, I was just picked some wild onion grass, which was nice.
Mm.
And it's quite balmy here. What about down there? What's the
well,
situation
in Bali? Well, I'm in Singapore right now on the way to Sri Lanka.
Ooh.
And it's kind of a constant. It just come out of the rainy season, so. But the energies have just been fabulous. The nature's just been singing. The sunset last night was purple and pink. The sky was just so amazing.
Mm.
It's like when you take the time just to, which I do, you know, I just do a lot, even though I'm like in a really, you know, city, Singapore is a full-on city, albeit extremely beautiful. The guys that designed this place really loved nature and wanted to make sure that, you know, you can see giant trees just about everywhere you go, you know, big, beautiful trees. And there's huge parks, and I've been spending a lot of time in the botanical gardens and, you know, but just walking around. But in any case, if you take what I'm finding here, you just, like, I'm in the city beat, and it really is full on, you know, this place just pumps, and you know how expensive it is to live in cities, and Singapore itself is a giant island. It is one big city. And so the people here, you know, they have to really move it to keep their nose above water. It's an intense place to live. So there's super intense city energies everywhere you go. But, man, you can just – I've been walking around smelling flowers and, you know, just tuning in, just connecting. And goodness me, there's so much goodness in the atmosphere right now. It's just absolutely fabulous. It's such a fabulous time to be alive.
Isn't Singapore, I've heard it's like the island of flowers. It's just flowers everywhere you look. It's just, like you said, it was designed for, like, if you turned 180 degrees, each view would be spectacularly beautiful and battered with flowers.
Yeah, there's flowers and trees, there's butterfly farms, there's a butterfly farm at the airport. Anyone that's flying through Singapore, make sure you go and see the butterfly farm on top of the airport. There's the most gorgeous gardens, and you know, the guys that really did this, they did it right. It's one of the most aesthetically pleasing cities in the world. They're lovely people. They're so non-invasive with their energy. It's like there's so much peace in the like you go around the underground systems. Even at the busiest times, everyone is so polite and non-invasive with their energy. It's a real inspiration, you know, just like, you know, how to manage your energy. Like ordinary people that you know, aren't particularly necessarily looking for something. They just have a, you know, there's some, you know, that Chogyam Trungpa book, The Shambhala Warrior teachings, the guy that set up the Naropa Institute in Boulder, Colorado. His basic thing was that there's basic goodness in every human being, not just basic goodness, you know, basic godliness. And I love these Singapore people. They just demonstrate a respect and a dignity that is that translates as, you know, it's a very peaceful atmosphere where no one projecting energy onto you, no one, you know, judging. As you can see, you can feel there's no judgment coming through the atmosphere. And they're in touch with a basic human dignity that is, you know, it's very nourishing for the soul to be in touch with that basic goodness within themselves.
Wow, what a pleasant place to be finding yourself right now.
Mm-hmm. It's been really good.
What are you doing there?
I'm doing sessions, I'm doing Gene Keys readings, I'm doing sessions with all kinds of people. I did a 15-year-old boy the other day who was just struggling with a bit of shyness and then, you know, like professionals, you know, very successful professionals running companies, doing all kinds of stuff depending on what their, you know, what their individual needs are. And then I've been doing a bunch of events. I've been working a lot with the women, women's empowerment stuff, and the warrior goddess activation. I've been doing storytelling. I've done cacao ceremonies. I've done tobacco juice twice. I'm drunk tobacco juice twice, 16 or 20 people. Just you know, helping them just, you know, shift out of ego-centered obsession into soul consciousness and that spiritual freedom, and you know, just what I always do. And yeah, I'm connected with the hub up here. There's a hub called Urban Spirit, right in the middle of the, you know, right in the center of where all the girly bars are and the regular bars and the clubs. There's a little place called Urban Spirit. So I'm based out of that hub there, and we do a lot of events, and it's very active, really a growing community. It's only been going for about 6 months, so it's building. And very well received. They really appreciate me here, and I got a good reputation. This is my fourth time I've been up here, and getting a lot of results, and I keep coming back and witnessing the change that's going on, you know, with people, as long as they, you know, put things into practice. And it's pretty inspiring stuff.
Wow, what a gift. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
And so how much longer are you there for on this trip?
Today I'm leaving tonight. I'm going to go to Sri Lanka and just do nature immersion and surf, yoga, mm-hmm. and qigong, and just really get into my own little flow. And then I'm going to come back here after 2 weeks and just for a couple of days, and then I'm going to go back to Bali for about a month. And then David Wolf's coming down in a few weeks to Bali. So I'm going to see him for the first time in a few years.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will be interesting, yeah. Absolutely. So, and then I'm going to come back here again, and then I'm going to go up to Europe and do some events up there, retreat in Mallorca and an event in the UK and a private retreat in the UK.
Well, it's certainly nice to have you spanning that part of the globe with your energy.
Yeah, I'm thriving on it. Hey, you got the blue bells out up there? Have you seen the blue bells? You get blue bells up there?
I mean, they're coming. Right now, we're just in snowdrop time. Snowdrop. I think the blue bells are right behind. I think they're right behind snowdrops.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
My goodness, that's such a good time. That first pulse of spring.
I love it. To me, it's really just heaven on earth. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. That's just what it is. And so it's just a reminder that that's what's happening in all of us. That level of rebirth, you know, right now you're just driving around, and right before the call came back, and people were putting out their maple syrup buckets, you know, to tap the trees. And you really just get like the sap is rising. It's rising in all of us. And there's so much life force and so much energy for creation right now. It's just a fantastic time. Every spring I say this, that how could it be? This spring seems unusually potent, but I think it's just because the world is becoming so much more alive and we're so much more present to our true nature that each spring we are more connected, we are more aware and more evolved and present to those flows. And so, I'm really looking forward to it. There's no place I'd rather be than in really immersing and just watching all that life springing forth.
Oh, yeah, totally. It's such a blessing, goodness me. So, yeah, I think it'd be good to have a little chat about what your perspective is. There's such a contrast going on in these natural realms where we can feel so connected and so empowered and so uplifted and so positive about life because it's just so wonderful and good. And then on the other hand, we're moving into an overt dictatorship in America there with Mr. Trump now in the power seat, and they've just issued I see they've started the evictions again at Standing Rock, and they're going ahead with all of that stuff. That as an archetypal image, just as a pure raw imagery of the times. What's your feelings about it all?
I have a lot of individuals I've had to deal with this in various levels of involvement in that whole situation, and not just that situation, but the political picture at large and all the various aspects of it, from people losing their jobs to just all various different shifts that are occurring at rapid speed, by the way, rapid speed. And yet every time I feel into all of it, I can only see the divinity in it. Even though it perhaps seems to a lot of people that are in fear or concern or anger, there's a lot of anger. Honestly, for me, I really only can feel the perfection and divinity and all of it. And so I've been encouraging in the conversations I've been having with people and in the group gatherings I've been having for people to really to feel into that and hold that space, because anything other than that really doesn't feel consistent with the bigger flows that are coming, that we're present to, that haven't maybe perhaps manifested in all the institutions and physical forms around us, but are all around us in any case. The realms of the invisible are all around us in any case, and we know that God has a hand in all of this. It isn't like, oh dear, what happened? God like left the station and the whole U.S. is running amok under the guise of one individual who's out of control and his group of cronies. I mean, that's not at all what's happening. Now, that's not to say that's not happening. It's just to say that God has not left his post. And there's the hand of God at play in all of these things, no matter how it looks like we're going in the wrong direction. Wait a minute. I thought this whole era of golden light that we were entering into was going to be, wasn't going to look like this. What happened? How did this all slide into place? And yet, I can only see the perfection in it and the acceleration that it's creating in the dichotomy of the two forces, you know, of light and dark. You know, Republicans, you know, the whole parties, the whole opposites, yin and yang. There's, to me, this is really, and from everything I'm feeling and getting and sensing in all the meditations, a huge opportunity for evolution and shifting. And if we're all holding a space for that to occur, you're not taking necessarily sides or camps or falling into despair or upset or anger, but staying in a place, a high, high place of peace in our soul and trust in that this is all the highest good for all concerned. And that's the biggest contribution we can make. That's the biggest role we can have in supporting the shifts that are coming. I mean, I just was talking to a friend of mine who's at the Standing Rock situation there, and yeah, they're starting the eviction process, and all, you know, the elders are asking for by way of support is that very thing, for people to hold the vision of peace. And you know, that's a high space to hold in the face of what could be, you know, upsetting things for a lot of people that are occurring. And so that's really what I'm holding, is that vibration and that connection to nature that we spoke of earlier. It's really no different. It's that being amplified within ourselves, such that, you know, we are the ones we've been waiting for, and how it's looking right now is that the largest contribution we can make as soul-infused beings is to be in our soul and to hold a steady residence of, from that place of love and peace and dignity. And if there's one energetic that I'm seeing with the elders and the Standing Rock water protectors, it's one of dignity and grace. Dignity and grace under pressure. And there's applied pressure occurring. I mean, I don't know if you've seen the equipment they've moved in there to move these people out, but it looks like something.
I haven't seen anything.
Okay. Well, it looks like something from a highly advanced, you know, Mad Max movie or something. You know, that it seems like I've never even seen that the military seemed to possess. So, yeah, there you are. And trust, the biggest energetic is to really hold a vibration of trust, trusting and surrendering to that this is what we were born for. We were born for this time. We've evolved and have awareness and consciousness of our soul embodiment such that we can hold that vibration steady and be that mobilizing force for that vibration on the planet. I see that as our primary role right now, as superheroes, as soul-infused beings.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for sharing that, and I couldn't agree more. And one of the things that's been striking me since I've been up here in Singapore this time is, you know, just for ordinary working people that are living in the machine, just how challenging that is, how far removed, you know, ordinary good people that are just, you know, trying to be good human beings and living in this, in the matrix, and just, you know, making their way and playing the game of life according to the matrix rules, just how far removed they are from the actual truth of their own being. It's really landed with me this time over here. And, you know, it's immensely challenging, because what we're witnessing is, you know, just with this Standing Rock image, is something that's absolutely perfect in terms of reflecting where the, you know, the schism is in the human psyche, in the collective consciousness. Because on both sides of that schism, it's dysfunctional within ourselves, the mind, because, you know, the main thing is the consciousness is interpreting experience through mind all the time. That's what the ego does. It's a mental creature. Mental. So it's the mind, but the mind is schizophrenic. The mind has a schism in it. The mind is polarized. It has a positive and negative side. And within it, neither of those sides is a solution in terms of finding peace and moving out of mind and ego into pure consciousness. And so we're the fight that's going on there, the battle, we can't boil it down to a fight between good and evil going on up there. We don't want to be doing that. It's not a good or accurate or honest thing to do, to portray the Native American Indians and all the people that are with them as the forces of good, and the military and the police and whatever is the forces of evil. What we're seeing is a mirror of the modern mind right now, where even on the positive side, what we would perceive as the good side of that mind, we've bought into something that isn't our world. It's an alien way of being. It's still materialistic. It's still consumption. It's still ego. It's still in conflict within itself. And so what it's reflecting is the challenge that we have to walk around and to be, to really be in our awareness, to be the witness of our own split psyche, how the mind has this dichotomy in it. There's no peace in it whatsoever, even on the, we know for a fact that the whole movement of raw foodism and healthy food and yoga and new age spirituality and people spending most of their lives on their computer, trying to help other people. There's no peace in that either. And there's no real truth and real power in that either. So the positive negative polarity within the worldly mind is they're just manifestations of the same dichotomy. So the challenge is can you just be a neutral witness? Can you accept the situation that's going on up there and all around us as simply as what it is without labeling it or judging it? And from that acceptance, can you move into a deeper experience of yourself and be able to hold yourself in the peace that isn't being ripped and torn by the polarity? And if you can do that, which is not a little thing at all, what I'm saying there, it's tremendously challenging for a consciousness that's been embedded in the matrix for a long time and is used to this this polarization thing. If you can do that, then you can begin to hold yourself in the center of your own power, and you can begin to feel and appreciate the levels of mastery that are actually required in order to manage your own power. And this is a really powerful point. Does that make sense, what I was just saying there?
Oh yeah, it still makes sense, and it's beautifully said. That place of neutrality is where the power is where one can then really just stand in being a witness, like you said, and trusting. And that is, there's no greater space to be in. And I had that experience today. I was with a woman, and another woman came in for a session, and they started talking about vaccinations
because, you know, it's that whole subject, so it's a hot one, and they both have kids, and they're making it now mandatory for young women and boys, which is huge, to get the Gardasil vaccination, you know, to protect from sexually transmitted diseases in this school that where she was attending. And she was just, I mean, she just was going off, just, and, you know, I mean, an upset mother, I mean, fair enough. And I noticed that initially my tendency was to say, well, just get your kid out of school. You know, just grab him out of there and homeschool, for God's sake. What's the big deal? But I was watching them both talk about it, and I just could watch energetically their it escalate from one to the other, building upon each other's upset. And it was interesting.
Say that again, please, Taylor.
What?
Just say that last bit again.
I watched energetically as the one's upset built upon the other. So as the one woman was getting upset, the other, she would trigger, you know, another level of upset in the woman, and it would just escalate like an escalator. I'm just like, and I just was standing there observing it, and I actually was finding it fascinating, and was just seeing it as energy and kind of just observing it. And at that point, I realized, you know what? Why say anything? Like, why? Like, I'll just see where this is going to. And where I came to is just like crescendo. And then the one started to cry, and then the other one started to cry. And I realized all the while I had just moved into this place of complete neutrality. And I decided I wasn't going to contribute anything to that. Why? Well, there just didn't seem to be anything to contribute to that. And so I just held that space of just being a witness, holding that space of a neutral space such that, you know, after the escalation and climax, they could come to that. And it was only by virtue of me holding it. I didn't say anything. I didn't offer any advice. Even though initially, as I said, I wanted to say, just homeschool. I mean, what's the big deal? But that even came from, you know, the my more of a mind place. And it wasn't until I just decided to drop back and watch it as energy that I was able to shift into the place that you're talking about. And yeah, it's a great practice to master. It's a great exercise to find yourself in. It's to find that as energy and then hold that. And there really is in that place an opportunity to watch your own mind and that dichotomy, as you said, because I could see, like, I could see it going to town. I could have easily followed them and gone right in there and joined the party, but it took off, and I just decided to stay back at the station. And so yes, it is a very potent place to find oneself in these times that we're in, wherever you are, in America or anywhere. And in that place, there's enormous amount of stillness and power. There's just, that's what's there. It's just stillness, power, and compassion. Like, I found I had a whole lot of compassion for both of them, but I didn't have any desire to move forward in any way whatsoever to provide solace or comfort or contribute. It was just a space that I was just, it was very clear all there was to do was hold. And, you know, just that's enough. And so that's a great opportunity for us all to master, you know, really be able to watch ourselves. It's a good place to watch the mind, I found easily. You know, it really is almost like you've taken a back seat to yourself somehow.
Absolutely. The witness And that's what we are. That's what consciousness is. It's just witnessing. And the best way to describe this whole thing, as real as we want to make it, is consciousness is witnessing a dream. You know, none of this is real. It's reached cartoon proportions now. Now you've got Donald Trump in there. You know, it's just gone cartoon. And if you look at the guy's language, I watched that speech of his. I watch a lot of his speeches actually, and I'm really into this understanding and appreciating what's really going on here. If you watch his speech in Florida, he went down to Florida last week where he'd been very popular in the election, and his speech is it's very polarized, yeah? He uses very simple good and bad terms often. He talks about people, this is good, he's good. And then he describes someone else, he's bad, or this is bad. And so he uses a very, 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 very simple language, and he slows things down, and he appeals to the emotional fever that the people that are supporting him are into and where they live. And so this whole soup, if you want genuine freedom, if you want genuine empowerment, if you want authentic enlightenment, illumination, spiritualization, selfhood, if you want, you know, really to know who you are, understand that this polarity game, this emotional polarization between these two extreme charges within the world, the emotional landscape of the human expression, that is a sticky trap. And the forces of materialism, which obviously are manifesting in this, you know, in this whole political situation, these forces of materialism are trying to pull you into the trap. And the whole world that has been born out of that materialism, which is the ego's dream, is to pull you into that trap. So you have on the political landscape, you have this so-called, you know, good against bad, the Democrats against the Republicans, and them against us, the polarization there. In the media, you have it all the time. In the entertainment industry, you have it all the time. In the movies, in everything. And this, the charge that goes with all this thing, when you go with a charge into these situations, you're trapped in there. So the neutrality is your escape. Is your escape route, not just your escape route, it's being able to center yourself in the eye of the storm when you're being triggered by these situations, which, you know, can be brutal, violent, extremely unfair. You know, and it's easy to get us. You know, the vaccination thing, if those children that have those vaccinations, if they're sensitive enough, they're going to be autistic for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, or they can even die. I mean, death is, it happens a lot with that. So, yeah, there are consequences of those that are pretty extreme.
That's right. And so, you know, when you're emotionally involved in that, it's very, very easy. You know, and it's actually impossible not to have an emotional reaction to that. You know, it's horrific, and you know, it's extremely traumatizing to be involved in that situation. I have a really close friend of mine who's she vaccinated her daughter against her own instincts, and the daughter ended up autistic. And I've been working with her now for for a couple of years, and she's getting way better, and so is the daughter getting way better. So the thing is there's a gift in all of this. There's a gift in all of this. There's two things. If you can't be neutral, which nearly nobody can, you know, it's easy to say just be a witness, but almost no one can be is a witness to their, you know, even their own thoughts and words and actions, let alone, you know, other people's and other situations. So, you know, if you can't be a witness, that's the thing to practice, is just being the witness consciousness, like witnessing now to yourself hearing these words. Just understand that it's not you that's hearing them. You're the witness that is listening to the listener, that is watching the listener, that's aware of the listener. So this is the thing, is to take a little step, microscopic step back away from who you think you are, and dissociate, detach a little bit from this ego's dream, because it's all a dream and it's going to end. You know, the dream is your version of the dream is going to change, and the whole thing is not being emotionally stuck in the dream the way your ego wants it to be. And so if you can't be the witness, if you haven't practiced to that to the degree that you actually are a witness, practice it. Practice, practice, practice. And then the other thing is there is an emotional charge. You have to use the energy, whatever it is, to motivate you to go in the direction, you know, that inspires you. For example, if you feel angry about these vaccinations or the chemtrails or this thing in Standing Rock or whatever it is, and there's going to be, you know, more and more and more and more and more of it coming, and if it isn't in your face already, it will be, you know, by this year's out. So this is the challenge. So if you're being triggered, and it is, say, for instance, you know, triggering rage or anger, then you have to go into that rage and anger and express the energy, just the raw energy of it, and try and let go of the story that goes with it. Because this is just the surface that we're experiencing right now. The story goes way, way deeper. Like if we really could see the dynamics that are going on up there at Standing Rock, there's no way we'd be so judgmental. If we could see the soul dynamics, if we could see the karmic dynamics, if we could see who the players actually are and what side they've been playing on before, and the real reasons under it all, why this thing is occurring, it would be a lot, lot easier to be detached emotionally from the thing. But we can't. So we have the knee-jerk reaction, and we need to go through, use the emotion to drive us in the direction that we want to go. Drop the story and move forward. Use the energy to move forward in a dynamic way that you can use as energy to propel you into a way of being that you're inspired to live because of this situation. For example, with this girl, this mother who's vaccinated her child. Okay, so she's a mother with a baby, a young girl, less than 2 years old, and she's being told that she needs to vaccinate her daughter. Something in her is telling her that that's not right. But her parents, the people around her, the professionals, everyone, and the cultural pressure is pushing her to have these vaccinations, so she did. And then within a few months, the daughter is full-blown autistic and is having, you know, dreadful fits, like epileptic fits, and continue to do that for years. Can you imagine the shame and the guilt and the self-loathing and the, you know, the self-hatred that can come out of that? And this is what happened. So I started working with her, and instead of, you know, trying to talk her out of it, I got her to, you know, express this rage and express this anger just by smashing pillows. So she released the charge. And when you release the charge, you feel a lot more free. There's a lot more expansiveness and freedom in there. And from then, you can move into a deeper and more honest sense of self. One that is in touch with these karmic themes and these cultural, the programming and the conditioning, and you can move from there into, you know, through your soul into your spiritual nature, which is absolutely free, and none of this is actually happening. It's all just happening in a dream world, and it's the ego's dream, and the consciousness is witnessing this. But if you're bound up in the ego, you can't experience yourself as a witness. So I got her to be able to experience it as a witness, and she would be able to do this, and then she'd fall back into it. So we kept working on this witness consciousness, and then we got her working on her own self-forgiveness, loving herself and accepting herself, even though she'd gone against her intuition and her daughter was, you know, autistic, epileptic. And so we worked on this and worked on this and worked on this. And what we noticed was that the more peaceful and loving she became towards herself, the better her daughter got. And so to the point where her daughter's medication could be reduced. And now her daughter's off the medication and hasn't had a fit, I think, for 18 months now. So that really is an extreme example of a mother who, you know, talk about the emotional bond between the daughter and the child and the story that goes with it, plus the fact she's from Scotland and a particularly dark place in Scotland with a particularly dark family history with lots of, you know, mother-daughter hatred, like contempt and dark energy between the mother and daughter. And I could go into a big story about this, about her family history and all the rest of it, but I'm not going to now. But the point is this, is no matter how emotionally embedded we are in the drama of life, if you can accept the gift in there, if you can find the gift in there, if you can go deep into it, don't deny anything, but move through it and release yourself by letting go of the stories. Letting go of the stories, and so you can let go of the charge and just deal with the raw energy. Bring yourself to a place through deep love and self-acceptance, through forgiveness, ho'oponopono, all the good stuff that we practice in superhero training. Bring yourself to a place where you are a witness. And that is what we're here for. That is what this world is for, it provides the perfect scenario. All these scenarios are perfect. It's perfect Trump's president. It's perfect that he's going into a more right-wing extreme, you know, they're good, we're bad, we're bad, they're good, we're good, they're bad, polarized dynamics. It's absolutely perfect. On, you know, in cartoon style, because we can see, it's so obvious, it's going to get really obvious that this is the game, that there is no freedom, there is no peace, there is no liberation, there is no improving that model to get it into some, you know, a heaven on earth utopian thing. We have to use a completely different strategy, something much more radical. And that strategy is exactly what we need to apply in order to stand in our power and be able to manage our own power. Because if you can love and accept yourself when you've been triggered to the degree that your daughter is, you know, epileptic, autistic, and it's your fault, if you can be a neutral witness while your daughter is having a freaking fit, then you're basically, you are that spiritual mastering, spiritual freedom right there. And that is going to stand you in good stead for eternity. That's, you know, you learn the lessons, you've accepted the gift, you 10 out of 10, well done, thank you. You understand how that works. Does that make sense, Taylor?
So makes sense. You know, that's all that makes sense. And if we see that everything is energy, which is all it is anyhow, and like Nick's saying, we can drop the story that's attached to it. It's just raw energy. And then from there, it's what are we going to do with it? And forgiveness, we've got all the tools. We know how to disengage. We can easily disengage with the tools we have. Ho'oponopono. Forgiving ourselves, loving ourselves. These are the keys to the kingdom. These are the keys to the kingdom. And I know I'm the beauty in Trump being president is that it's so amplified. The nonsensicalness of it is so obvious now. Where before, the media, everyone was working kind of really hard to be undercover maybe, or I don't know, create some kind of smokescreen or illusion. Now though, it's all out on the table. And that's the beauty of it, because like Nick's saying, it is cartoonish in nature. You look at it and you're like, wow, is this really happening? Am I really watching this? It's fascinating. And if we can see it as that, if we can unhook ourselves from it all and be able to see it as the complete divine perfection, you know, one of the things one of my early spiritual teachers told me, and I've held on to it ever since and applies to every single thing, which is we don't have enough information, and we're never going to. Like Nick was saying, like, we don't really know what's going on with Standing Rock. Even if we were there, because there's so much at play that we can't even know. We could never know. We do not have enough information, and we never will. And you could say that about pretty much every single upset, every single so-called fact, every single, you know, place where people get stuck in these this shouldn't be scenarios. And that can instantly disengage you. So, for example, when someone calls me, like, freaking out about who knows what, you know, usually what I go to right away is we don't have enough information to form any opinions here at all. So if you take that away from a human being, there isn't a whole lot left for them to stand on. It's a pretty quick way to completely take the ground out. And so we kind of need to do that for ourselves before we get all caught up in these spirals of out of controlness that we can easily do in these times. And like Nick said, if this isn't touching you right now, it will. That's what this year is about. This year is coming down. It's in a big way. All of this you're seeing is just going to keep amplifying in its nature and become even more unreal. It'll look unreal. It'll be like, are you kidding me? Is that actually happening? And the answer is going to be, yep, that's what's happening. And so this is critical information. We're arming you with the best tools you can have in your toolbox. And the simple steps are, one, everything is energy. Even the story you've got about it is energy. Two, you don't have enough information to form any judgments or opinions about it whatsoever. You actually don't. And you never will have enough information. So that short circuits stories pretty quickly. And then two, what do we need to do to shift this? What this level of anger or upset or whatever it is that has hooked you, what tools do you have? And maybe, like Nick is saying, you're going to have to hit pillows. Or like all those women in the Million Women March had to go out, you know, make signs and yell and scream. I mean, you know, I don't know. Whatever it is that that can help just bring you back to that space of neutrality, and then look like, okay, so for the example of the vaccination woman, yeah, loving herself will immediately shift your environment. It's immediately shifted her daughter. It'll immediately shift you and your environment. And if we're all doing that, that's the new world that we're creating. That's, therein lies the world that everyone is eager to have, you know, heaven on earth. And I thought we were moving into the new world. This doesn't look like the new world to me. I can't tell you how many people tell me that on a daily basis. Like, because, you know, I've been going on and on about this. We're really moving into, you know, huge levels of light and blah, blah, blah. And people are like, well, where is it? What happened? Where'd it go? Why is Trump president? Well, it's here. We're it. And it's going to come from us. It's not going to, the thing we can see so beautifully in the illustration of what's happening in all these polarities right now is, like Nick was saying, it's not going to come from that at all. They're just going to do what they do, and it's going to come from us, this space of standing in a space of pure power and pure presence, and holding that place of witness and commitment to being divine intervention. We are divine intervention. That's what divine intervention is. That level of energy, that level of not having judgment at all whatsoever. No judgment at all. You're free. The truth shall set you free. When you have gotten to that level of truth within yourself, it enables pure freedom for you to live in, and others, you know, and to ripple out into your communities and family and network. And that's the job of a superhero. So, well, do you think we should take some questions, Nick?
Indeed.
All right, let's see what we got here. All right, so we have some people on the webcast. We've got some people here calling in. So if anyone would like to just share something, add into the story, ask a question, the story that we're telling us here, raise your hand. This is a superhero call, which means superheroes. We want to hear from. So this is your opportunity. And furthermore, it would be nice to hear from superheroes to just, yes, with some feedback here on where are you in that process? Where are you in this scenario that Nick and I have just discussed? Where are you finding yourself? What are you seeing in your community? What contributions are you making? All right, I see no hands as of yet. Well, I guess this is a web call. I can't make a hand. All right, but this person here. All right, so Burbank, California, would you like to share? Is that you, Burbank, California?
Hello.
Who do we have there? Yep, I see your hand is up. So, can you hear me?
Yeah, Taylor?
Yep.
Hey. Hey, Nick.
Hey, brother.
What to say? All of us came up with something. Well, I was getting real good on the neutrality consciousness right up to about 2 weeks ago. And we found a lovely house to buy outside of the city, and we're feverishly trying to get our current house up for sale here so we can make the transition. And it's been a real challenge to stay out of ego consciousness, and there's, you know, tens of thousands of dollars in play that we could, you know, capitalize on if we get all the last little things fixed to the house and get on out of here. So it's been a real challenge, and it was just kind of going real smooth right up to about 2 weeks ago, and ended up getting a little sick and working longer days and getting some little back issues and whatnot. So I guess that's where I'm at.
Well, you've been listening to the call, right? Since you've
yeah, I've been here listening.
So what difference has what Nick and I have shared now that you can move forward with in this new situation that's gotten sticky? Because remember, as Nick said, this is a sticky trap,
these types of things.
You're a fly that's stuck in the fly paper of stickiness. So what that we've shared here, can you see that now you can apply, or, you know, what difference has what we've shared made for you right now?
Well, specifically, it'd be hard to kind of integrate the new information so quickly, but I don't know. I guess just try not to get stuck, because I feel like I got out from the fly trap this last morning and afternoon here, and just not reacting to instances that may or may not occur in the future, just to try to remain detached and in that witness consciousness of watching myself moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you, money, especially tens of thousands of dollars that's being spent one way or the other, is a big hook. That can be a big hook. A big one. So I appreciate it. Especially if you lose it.
Well, I guess, you know, we don't have to sell, but desperately, both of us just want to get the hell out of the city and get some acreage and just kind of retreat from the busyness that we're surrounded in right now. So, but you know, we have the option to sell later when we're ready, or to, you know, get it all ready really quick so we can make sure we get the house that, you know, we wanted to get that's available. So, yeah, good hook, because I'd love to get out of this town here.
Right. And so you're moving from Burbank.
Well, the cell phone is listed in there. I'm actually a little farther north, outside of Los Angeles, in Santa Clarita.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were in Burbank actually about 6 years ago.
And is your wife also, challenged by this whole situation as well?
Yeah, well, she's been juggling work and, coming back and fixing up on the house and making it presentable. She did an excellent job last week. We had the photographer come in and take pictures, and she did her little feng shui magic. But it's being in the rush has been challenging for both of us, and then I'll get caught up in it too. Like I you know, would like to say that I know better, not to get caught up in it, but she's so passionate about the house and, oh, you know, we need to, you know, do this. And, you know, then I'll kind of like get stuck. I've found myself to get stuck and, follow her, I don't know how to say it, her tendency to be in that rush. So.
Yeah, that's an easy pattern, you know, especially in an intimate relationship when someone's all caught up, and especially being a guy, you know, you probably want to help her out and calm her down. And so, you know, one suggestion I might have is to take like a little time out, just call time out. Because I notice when I get in that, when I have gotten into that with Jeff, for example, and get into this kind of flustered state of like, we got to do this, we got to do that, we got to do this, we got to do that. And you can feel it's what it's feeling like in your system, in your body. Does that feel any? Does it feel good to you?
Oh, what is that?
You can feel how not good it feels in your body. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where your whole body is not feeling well.
Mm-hmm.
You're dis-ease. You have dis-ease. You have no ease in your system. That's dis-ease. And so. You know, when I feel that, when I'm feeling that, like stress kind of taking over, creeping in, taking over, I've learned now to recognize, like, whoa, okay, hold on, we got to just stop everything and regroup. And you know, that may be something you want to do right now, like, hold on, you know, because it's either you're going to direct the energy or the energy is going to just direct you, or you're going to be at the effect of it, a victim of the whole circumstances, so to speak. And that's what happens when you get stuck in that whole situation and the story. It just becomes a swirl of energy and you're caught up in it. And you're reacting. You aren't creating, you're reacting. Can you feel the difference in that?
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah. And yep. So, and it's a good opportunity for you just to kind of create a line of demarcation, have a little sit down and say, well, hold on a minute. You know, and whatever it is you need to release by way of upset or communicate or whatever, like Nick was talking about earlier, like there may be upset she has about this whole situation or you have or whatever. And then really look to see what is it that you're wanting to create here, that if you could have anything at all, like what are you going to do with this situation? Because it's all just energy. Your house is energy, the other house is energy. It's all one big energetic scenario. There you are. You're in the middle of it. And if you can be in a space of not neutrality through the whole thing, no matter what is happening, see it as ideal or perfect or without judgment, that you will have the most power in that whole situation. And so my suggestion is to you, when you do feel like that, because you were like, well, I was buzzing along until I felt like I was doing pretty well with mastering neutrality until, you know, I don't know what happened, but it kind of doesn't matter. That's right there, whenever that until is, as soon as you recognize it, that you're not feeling good, that you're in stress, in disease, that's the time to like say, okay, hold on, time out, you know? And in this case, it probably would require also having that conversation with your wife as well, or your partner. And then you can realign yourselves together. You can, you know, recreate what it is that you're doing from a whole nother space outside of the reality space, you know, outside of the nuts and bolts of this and that in the realm of creation, pure creation, which only comes from that space of not being attached to anything, not having judgment about anything. Divine intervention, that's divine intervention. Okay, let's call time out and, you know, say what we need to say such that we can get ourselves into a space of divine intervention around this whole house selling, buying process.
Well, thank you. That makes a lot of sense.
Nick, do you have anything you want to add to that? Nick? May have lost Nick.
Sorry, love, I was on mute.
Oh.
Yeah, no, you hit it on the head. The thing is, whatever we want, whatever it is, we have to walk around with the feeling that we already have it. And that feeling has to be, you know, super drenched in every single cell. But if it's coming from this place of neutrality and the bigger version of ourselves, it's much, 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 much more empowered. The ego is becoming disempowered at the moment, and so we have to play this entire game, and it's a big challenge, you know. Whatever the situation is, whatever the dynamics are involved in the story that are triggering the emotional charge, it's a big challenge. So you've got to work yourself out of it. So deep love and self-acceptance, the emotional freedom technique, is the first step to start removing your personality from it. So even though I'm feeling X, Y, and Z, I deeply and completely love and accept myself just the way I am. I deeply and completely love and accept myself just the way I am. And that relaxes you a bit. You can do a bit of alternate nostril breathing and go deeper into the relaxation and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I love you. Thank you. Take absolute responsibility for the situation. I can feel in the vibe of your voice, you know, you're vibing on victim. You got to get out of that. That thing's just going to create more of the same. So when you stand up and take full responsibility for it and say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, you have to genuinely feel that you're becoming freer and freer and freer. When you hit those inner worlds of freedom, that's where you're really in your power, and you can walk around feeling like you already have the new place, or you're living in the new situation. That's the thing to get the momentum going. So there's no point in giving any time or energy to victim mode. It's just digging yourself deeper and deeper and deeper in the hole. Watch your diet. Don't eat a load of shit so your guts are all depressed and all the neurotransmitters in your guts are all wrong, because that'll make the whole thing even worse. Exercise, get oxygenated, just keep your energy levels as high as you can, get plenty of rest, don't go to sleep just after you've been on the computer, get off that thing, do hardcore spiritual practice, make love with your partner, get the good vibes going, and get up and do the same thing and take the bull by the horns. The situation's perfect because it's so challenging. And this is what's going on right now. You know, I'm telling you, it's only just started. This thing is going to get really fucking heavy. And I've been saying this for a long time, and it's like everyone's floating around in flipping dreamland, reckoning this thing's not going to come down, but it is coming down. Heavy, heavy, heavy. And if you haven't got your, if you haven't got your skill sets in place, then, you know, the smaller triggers might not bother you, but the bigger ones are going to get you. So, this is real deal initiation time right now. So get a hold of the bull by the horns, get out of that victim thing, and get the warrior activated and just embrace it. Use the energy. I'd move some rage if I were you. Depression's like suppressed anger and, you know, frustration, rage, all this stuff. Beat the shit out of some pillows. And then as soon as you've done that, go into higher consciousness and feel your freedom. You know, we're already free. We're just running storylines. We're addicted to the we're this physical body with this story and blah, 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 blah. This is my big story. None of the story, the happy version of the story or the nightmare version of the story is still a story. It's all the ego's dream. So the thing is to wake up. Wake up. Wakey, wakey. Wake up. Snap out of it. and keep snuffing yourself out of it every time you slip back into it. That's the game. That's the whole game. The situation's perfect. So use it. The sooner you accept the gift, adapt and accept the gift, and really embrace it, the faster it's all going to change. That's the way it works.
Yeah, that's right.
You can do it, brother.
Huge gift. You know, buying houses, selling houses, they're right up there with, you know, death of a loved one and, you know, I don't know what the other big stress factors are. So you're in the upper numbers there of stress factors. If the ego's going to kick in, you're in the game, solely in. So this is a huge opportunity. And right there, just seeing it as a gift, alone. This, you know what? This whole house buying process, you could say this to your partner. The thing I realized is this whole house buying process is a huge opportunity for us to learn how to really transcend getting caught up in stress and pulling ourselves out of a space of neutrality and then proceed in selling the house and proceed with all this and see every bump in the road is a real opportunity to fine tune it, because there'll probably be a lot more bumps coming up, you know, step by step. All the people that you're interacting with, everyone is being called into the scenario, from the realtors to the people working on your house, they're all there as, you know, chess players in this game you've created. And you know what I mean? So it's have fun with it. Actually have fun with it. Jeff and I just helped my stepmother sell her house, and you know, I just kind of set her down because she was like going off, like stressing notes, that, blah, blah, blah. These people were doing everything wrong. And finally, I just sat her down and said, "Look, you know, we aren't into this game. Like, here's the game we're gonna play. If you want to play that one, you're gonna be doing it on your own. But you know what? How we approach a project like this." Is that it's all going to come together at the perfect time, at the perfect price. Everyone that shows up at this house is like an angel from God, you know, no matter what they look like and, you know, so on and so forth. You know, we're going to put your house on the market and the next day you're going to have a buyer paying cash, you know, who's ready to go and you fall in love with and, you know, there's a whole lineage connection backward in time to my dad who built the house. And, you know, we laid it out. We laid out the story that we wanted to participate in. And like Nick said, it was already done. You know, as far as we were concerned, the house was sold and everyone was happy as pie, you know, including the new people that bought it. So write that story. Write whatever story it is you want and then go play it. And see every opportunity where you're, you know, you get hooked is an opportunity just to get bigger, an opportunity to practice shift and evolve even more. And that is the perfect, you're in the upper echelon of stress situations, so you go for it.
Right on.
Yeah, and we expect
thanks
to hear back on this.
Thanks much, Taylor. Thank you.
Yeah, so let's give
thank
10
you.
Updates.
Okay.
Post pictures. You know, there's just certainly not enough activity in the Facebook superhero section. I can tell you that right now. In general, there seems to be a lot of activity. So, yeah, let's get people sharing and participating.
Nick, you got to post some clips of Yogi Happy, and then everybody will be hooked again.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. You got me on that one. Yeah, okay, and I'll post some pictures of Happy as well. All right, so, okay, well, onward and upward. We have two more people here. We have another web caller, and then we have this question. Well, first of all, is there anything else you want to say before we move on?
No. Nope. Blessings, and have fun in Sri Lanka, Nick, and... We'll talk soon.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for raising your hand and jumping in there. That's superhero act right there. And sharing your high-level situation there. And we'll put light around that and keep us posted.
Okay, will do.
right. Okay, so now we're moving to this question from Marionette. Maybe it's Marionette. Yeah, it probably is. From the UK. So nice to hear you both. I've been in that neutral space a lot of late. Just witnessing has brought with it oceans of compassion. Then I find myself like watching everything that's within me and seeing it whole rather than a focus on specifics. And from there I found you can create big change because you can change the dynamic of that whole. And in my world, which is in quotes, move towards something more agreeable to my choices. Well, essentially that's what we're just saying there. I do that all the time and have found it a great way to manifest. All the best for all, but it's huge fun. Create your world. It's really possible. Huge love. Yeah, that's perfect. That's really essentially what we were just saying there, that you can, from that place of neutrality, write the story with the outcome that you so desire and see it as already done. And then see everything that's occurring as perfect, as part of that whole situation. That's the power we all have. And we often don't use it and forget that we have it, but we all got it. So, Nick, anything you want to say about Marionette's comment here?
No, it's bang on. And it is. It's true. And it's that place of neutrality that's the most important thing. In A Course in Miracles, it tells us that there is an order of awakening. You go from living in a nightmare into a happy dream, and then you wake up. But it's all a dream. So, you know, and the dream has these fluctuations in it. So we can all remember when we were having good times in life, and we might be in what we call bad times now, or we might be in good times now. We can all remember when we had the bad times or the good times. I don't know what I said. So it's always fluctuating. It's on these waves of energy are coming through constantly, and the waves are polarized. Energy is polarized, and it's always positive or negative. We call that good or bad, depending on our circumstance. And what is good today can go bad tomorrow. If you're in love with someone today, you know, if they get cancer tomorrow, it all goes bad. Or if you break up, or they die, or they cheat on you, you know, whatever that is, you know, you're also, because you've left your job, you're starting your own business, but then, you know, your business might lose a lot of money. And then now you're not so stoked. It's a bad time. Well, hang on a minute. I thought it was good. You start your own business. Yeah, it is good, but it's bad because it's losing money. You see, it's always fluctuating. Up, down, up, down, up, down. And the thing is, we just want to be the neutral observer. This is the whole thing about being a spiritual being. Is from the soul's point of view, it doesn't matter whether it's a positive or negative experience. That's just the judgment of the ego. What matters is the intensity of it, and to the degree that we're either free from the manifestation of the appearances, or we're entangled up in it. If we're entangled up in it, then we're going to get our asses kicked sooner or later. So the thing is this position of neutrality, and that's when you have your real power. That's when you have your real power. So it's about being detached from the outcome. So you set your intentions. And if you've got power, your intentions are, they manifest very, very quickly. But the whole energy world that they're manifesting in is being affected by an infinite number of variables that you don't have any control over whatsoever, except in the way that you respond to those variables. For instance, right now, there's a tremendous amount of astrological impact. The Mars and Pluto effect that we just went through the last two or three days, you know, it was really, I felt it here in Singapore dramatically. I walked into the hotel room yesterday. I opened the door and there was a chair behind the door, and the chair was it was a metal chair right on the big mirror, like right on the mirror. And I opened the door and pushed the chair, you know, just like a millimeter, and it cracked the mirror. So the mirror's broken. I had a shower. The drains are blocked on the shower, so the it was all flooding out the shower on the floor. So the room, the room was flooded a little bit. What else happened? My website disappeared off the air, and GoDaddy won't let me into it. No one knows what's going wrong with it, and I don't have, you know, the tech guy that set it up years ago. It's all the security stuff on his name, so the website's not up there. What else happened? My Skype broke down. The Skype just disappeared. So all my contacts gone, and you know, that's all went. What else? Whole bunch of stuff, like one after another, after another, after another. People cancelling for private sessions because of this, that, and the other. That was all going on as well yesterday. I could go on, but I'm stoked. None of this is affecting me. I'm just witnessing it, and I'm watching, and I'm witnessing that I am witnessing in it, and I'm really happy with that. It's like, yay, freaking stoked. You know, it's just, when it gets ridiculous, it's even easier to be a witness. You know, it's just, this is just all too ridiculous, and it kind of goes on just fast forward. You know, it's just a cartoon going on fast forward, and that's just the way it is. But you can walk around connected to, you know, infinite peace while you're moving around in it. So if you really want things to happen, if you really want the best to happen, become the witness. And by all means, set your intentions. And becoming a witness doesn't mean not being you. Okay, this is something really important to understand. You don't suddenly become this empty, you know, plastic bag version of yourself with nothing in it. What it is, you become extremely empowered, and you get the real power of your own spirit flowing through you, so you can witness yourself becoming more loving, more patient, more compassionate, kinder, more empowered. You witness that. It's not through your own devices, your own ego's fever to become, you know, powerful, successful, whatever. It's through your own reverence, respect, humility, love, and gratitude, your own commitment to the living truth of life, your own practice, your own tenacity and perseverance to keep on keeping on the real core essence of your spiritual practice, and then you witness the outcome of that. You witness your personality, the projection of your soul, becoming more virtuous, having more virtues and more power, being more powerful. And when you're more powerful, it means when you have an intention, life responds to that intention and puts the circumstances, people, place, situations and things that you need to move from A to B, whether that, you know, whatever the manifestation of that is, it happens, and it happens very, very quickly in an unmistakable way. But you know, other stuff can happen as well that you haven't been inviting whatsoever, because you're in the matrix, you're in the energy world, and it's always fluctuating. So be detached from outcomes, and when you do that, this movement from the nightmare to the happy dream is followed by awakening. So you basically, you're designed to wake up in a happy dream. And what all that happens then is that you know you're in a dream. You know that you're dreaming this, that this is a dream, and that you become conscious in the dream. Awakening is becoming conscious, fully conscious of what's going on. And that is, that's an eternal journey. It's not like snap the fingers, now I'm awake, nothing else is going to happen. There's never going to be any, you know, it's going to become boring or something. Like someone in my one of my events the other day was, was saying, you know, that she likes this, you know, that there has to be, she has to suffer in misery so that she knows what joy is, and wouldn't, you know, wouldn't perfect love and absolute peace be boring? And I'm like, no, dear, there's nothing boring about perfect love. And, you know, it's always new. That's the thing. It's always new. It's always new. It's new every second, isn't it, Taylor? Every flipping millisecond of it is new. So you can always live in wonder. Yeah. It's always new. It's always new.
Gloriously new, too. Not just new, but gloriously new. And it is. It is. It's a state of wonder. That's so funny. I know. I've had people say that, too. So, praise the Lord. Yeah, and you know, we've got, hold on 1 second. All right, just had a bunch of people walk through here. So we have about, I don't know, a few minutes left on the call, and if there's anyone else who would like to share, we'll take one last call, and then maybe Nikki can wrap it up with the Singapore prayer. I love that story about everything breaking down. Yeah, that's the thing to really, that we can set all the intentions we have and have our vectors all aligned, and then, you know, stuff happens. And it's how we ride those waves that is what life's about, how we interact with, because change is constant. And like Nick said, we're in the matrix, we're living in the world. And how are we going to interact with what's brought to us every day? I mean, I get up, and when I wake up, I'm fully expecting that what will probably happen is, no matter what I plotted my schedule out to be X, Y, and Z, chances are good that it will go some other direction. And I just allow for that. I allow for that the universe may have some other contribution to make to my day that I didn't have on my list. And that level of flexibility, you know, one of the things I keep hearing when I ask for, you know, just clarity and guidance on what this year is about and what is, if there's any, you know, themes, what are they? And one of the big themes that keeps coming over and over again is flexibility, having ultimate flexibility, being flexible as like the key word for this year, to really be able to traverse all that's coming. And that's critical because, like Nick was saying, if his day was all about having Skype sessions and his Skype down, well, you know, that, now what? And yet he's rolling with it and you know, guessing that, okay, maybe what he was really meant to do was go outside. I don't know. But when stuff like that happens to me, you know, whatever that thing is, all good plans of mice and men, or I don't know, all best laid plans of mice and men, I don't know what that is. But whatever it is, what we can count on in these times that we're living in is nothing. That's what we can count on. We can count on nothing other than this dialogue. And that's good news. You know, that's a huge freedom to know that you can't count on anything other than this place that we're suggesting to stand, this space of ultimate peace, this space of our soul and our intention and our conviction. So you got that. You got everything. You don't need anything. And so that's really the key, is to be able to be flexible with the times that we're living in and recognize that we don't have enough information to really form any solid judgments or opinions about anything at all whatsoever. And that takes a big chunk of energy out of the equation if you don't have to spend it doing that. So then you can really use it for creating the world that you do want to live in. And like Nick's creating, being soaked over there with all of his electronical gear going down and his hotel room flooding. I love that. All right, well,
yeah.
It seems like no one is raising their hand. So, well, let me just look at one more thing, webcast. We have no other questions. So it seems like a good time to wrap it up. What do you think, Nick?
Yeah. Let's get out of here. I got some things to do, and everyone's super inspired now.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call. This was a critical topic. I really appreciate you having it, Nick, and us really delving into this. This was really the most important topic we could cover, and just gems of wisdom.
Beautiful. And thanks, thanks for everyone. And remember, the golden point from this thing, the whole thing is a sticky trap. Emotions is the glue that gets you stuck in there. Forgiveness is the solvent that dissolves the glue. Forgive everything, forgive everyone. Self-love, self-acceptance, deeply and completely love and accept yourself. Whatever the feeling is, don't suppress it and repress it. Express it in a healthy way and free yourself. Move into that neutrality as quickly as possible. Take what action you need to take, and just get on with it. And just love your life. Give thanks. Everything's a gift if you can accept a gift, but it often is wrapped up in wrapping paper that we don't like the look of, so we judge it. We judge it as either good or bad. So, I want to finish with a little psalm, a little bit of Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. So that's the beginning, the very beginning of Psalm 24. Check it out. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. What's he saying? Lift up your head. Lift your head up. Close your eyes. Smile. Look up within. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. That's what we are. We're a doorway for divinity to pour into this world. That's all we are. It's a one-way door. All the ego's dream, none of that goes through the door and into divinity. None of it. So let the truth flow through you. Let the truth flow through you. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. Check out Psalm 24. Sending you lots of love and appreciation. Thank you so much, Taylor. Talk to you soon. Lots of love, everyone.